I'd like to warmly welcome everyone to this Wednesday gathering, a teleconference prayer and gratitude meeting hosted by prayerforliving.com and open to all. We're delighted that you have joined us as a participant in this spiritual oasis. For those of you with a computer, our web address for this meeting is prayerforgathering.com. To hear previous healing messages, click on the link labeled Wednesday Gathering Audio Archive on the prayerforgathering.com webpage. Let's now join together in song with hymn number 218 from the Christian Science hymnal. Welcome to this healing meeting at prayerfulgathering.com. The topic of today's readings is Whence Olympic Victories. I shall be reading from the Authorized or King James Version of the Bible and correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. And she is, of course, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. From the Bible, starting with Exodus. And Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, This is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord, whosoever is of a willing heart, and let him bring it, an offering of the Lord, gold, silver, and brass. From 1 Corinthians. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body, and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Psalms. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it. He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. From 1 Samuel. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and there went out a champion of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And David said to Saul, Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered him out of his mouth. And when he rose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, Go, and the Lord be with thee. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head, and he armed him with a coat of mail. And he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. And he took his staff in his hand, and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And a sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. And David put his hand in his bag, and took thence a stone, and slang it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead. And the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. Now from 2 Samuel. Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, Let me now run and bear the king tidings, how that the Lord hath avenged him of his enemies. And Joab said unto him, Thou shalt not bear tidings this day, but thou shalt bear tidings another day. Then said Joab to Cushai, Go, tell the king what thou hast seen. And Cushai bowed himself unto Joab, and ran. Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, yet again to Joab, But howsoever, let me, I pray thee, also run after Cushai. And Joab said, Wherefore wilt thou run, my son, seeing that thou hast no tidings ready? But howsoever, said he, let me run. And he said unto him, Run. Then Ahimaaz ran by the way of the plain and overran Cushai. And David sat between 2 gates. The watchman went up to the roof over the gate unto the wall and lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man running alone. And the watchman saw another man running, and the watchman called unto the porter and said, Behold, another man running alone. And the king said, He also bringeth tidings. And the watchman said, He thinketh the running of the foremost is like the running of Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok. The king said, He is a good man, and cometh with good tidings. And Ahimaaz called and said unto the king, All is well. Now from Isaiah, Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? But the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the heavens, the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Hebrews. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Finally, from 1 Chronicles. Of the gold, the silver, and the brass, there is no number. Arise, therefore, and be doing, and the Lord be with thee. Now, correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy. when Homer sang of the Grecian god, Olympus was dark, but through his verse, the gods became alive in the nation's belief. Pagan worship began with muscularity, but the law of Sinai lifted thought into the Song of David. Christian Science is not an exception to the general rule that there is no excellence without labor in a direct line. One cannot scatter his fire and at the same time hit the mark. Whoever would demonstrate the healing of Christian Science must abide strictly by its rules, heed every statement, and advance from the rudiments laid down. There is nothing difficult nor toilsome in this task when the way is pointed out, but self-denial, sincerity, Christianity, and persistence alone win the prize, as they usually do in every department of life. Some individuals assimilate truth more readily than others, but any student who adheres to the divine rules of Christian Science and imbibes the Spirit of Christ can demonstrate Christian Science, cast out error, heal the sick, and add continually to his store of spiritual understanding, potency, enlightenment, and success. When walking, we are guided by the eye. We look before our feet, and if we are wise, we look beyond a single step in the line of spiritual advancement. How long it must be before we arrive at the demonstration of scientific being, no man knoweth, not even the Son but the Father. But the false claim of error continues its delusions until the goal of goodness is assiduously earned and won. If the disciple is advancing spiritually, he is striving to enter in. He constantly turns away from material sense and looks towards the imperishable thing of spirit. If honest, he will be in earnest from the start and gain a little each day in the right direction, till at last he finishes his course with joy. If truth is overcoming error in your daily walk and conversation, you can finally say, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith, because you are a better man. Jesus bore our infirmities. He knew the error of mortal belief, and with his stripes, the rejection of error, we are healed. Despised and rejected of men, returning blessing for cursing, he taught mortals the opposite of themselves, even the nature of God. And when error felt the power of truth, the scourge and the cross awaited the great teacher. Yet he swerved not, well knowing that to obey the divine order and trust God saves retracing and traversing anew the path from sin to holiness. He won eternal honors. He overcame the world, the flesh, and all error, thus proving their nothingness. He wrought a full salvation from sin, sickness, and death. We need Christ and him crucified. We must have trials and self-denials, as well as joys and victories, until all error is destroyed. Waking to Christ's demand, mortals experience suffering. This causes them, even as drowning men, to make vigorous efforts to save themselves. And through Christ's precious love, these efforts are crowned with success. Wait for your reward, and be not weary in well-doing. If your endeavors are beset by fearful odds and receive no present reward, go not back to error, nor become a sluggard in the race. Final deliverance from error, whereby we rejoice in immortality, boundless freedom, and sinless sense, is not reached through paths of flowers, nor by pinning one's faith without works to another's vicarious effort. It is not wise to take a halting and halfway position, or to expect to work equally with spirit and matter, truth and error. There is but one way, namely God and his idea, which leads to spiritual being. The scientific government of the body must be attained through the divine mind. It is impossible to gain control over the body in any other way. Give sick people credit for sometimes knowing more than their doctors. Always support their trust in the power of mind to sustain the body. Never tell the sick that they have more courage than strength. Tell them, rather, that their strength is in proportion to their courage. If you make the sick realize this great truism, there will be no reaction from overexertion or from excited conditions. Maintain the facts of Christian Science, that spirit is God and therefore cannot be sick. That what is termed matter cannot be sick. That all causation is mind, acting through spiritual law. Then hold your ground with the unshaken understanding of truth and love, and you will win. Detach sense from the body, or matter, which is only a form of human belief, and you may learn the meaning of God, or good, and the nature of the immutable and immortal. Breaking away from the mutations of time and sense, you will neither lose the solid objects and ends of life, nor your own identity. Fixing your gaze on the reality supernal, you will rise to the spiritual consciousness of being, even as the bird which is burst from the egg and preens its wings for a skyward flight. We should forget our bodies in remembering good in the human race. Infinite mind can have no starting point, and can return to no limit. Mind, joyous in strength, dwells in the realm of mind. Mind's infinite ideas run and disport themselves. Mortal thoughts chase one another like snowflakes and drift to the ground. Science reveals life as not being at the mercy of death, nor will science admit that happiness is ever the sport of circumstance. The divine demand, be ye therefore perfect, is scientific, and the human footsteps leading to perfection are indispensable. Individuals are consistent, who, watching and praying, can run and not be weary, walk and not faint, gain good rapidly and hold their position, or attain slowly and yield not to discouragement. God requires perfection, but not until the battle between spirit and flesh is fought and the victory won. Imperfect mortals grasp the ultimate of spiritual perfection slowly, but to begin aright and to continue the strife of demonstrating the great problem of being is doing much. If you launch your bark upon the ever-agitated but healthful waters of truth, you will encounter storms. Your good will be evil spoken of. This is the cross. Take it up and bear it. For through it, you win and wear the crown.